And our second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is truth. However it comes to us, it is a word that is good for us and encourages and challenges us. Be with us this morning as we share together in your word, that it may be to us life and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've been following with us during this service, you may have had opened your own Bibles, and I'd like you to turn back with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. We've all suddenly become very used to following clear rules in order to reduce the risk to our lives. However, when it comes to living out the Christian life, I want to say, if you have the same version of the scriptures that I'm using, the new NIV, please don't be misled by the titles the NIV Bible translators have given to chapter 3, and again at verse 18, after our passage, where it talks about rules for holy living and rules for Christian households. Paul is not telling us that by following a set of rules, we can earn a place in God's kingdom. Nor is he describing a kind of 50-50 approach. You know, all grace to get us converted, and then it's up to us to struggle to live the Christian life by keeping a set of rules. This is about 100% grace. God's grace to enable us to come to faith, and his grace to enable us to live out that faith. But what is it that God's grace enables us to live out? One of the key words in Paul's letter, as we saw at the beginning of our passage, is therefore. It says that what comes next depends vitally on what the therefore is referring to. It only makes sense to say do that because this has happened to you. In the case that Paul is describing, he knew that the Christians at Colossae were being unsettled by teachers coming to claim that their faith in Jesus Christ was not enough for full Christian life. They needed something more, which only these teachers could supply. Paul's answer was not to offer them some extra that he could provide. It was to reaffirm that when they were united with Christ in faith, they had all they needed to make possible that new life that they were to lead. This was not to be an experience of a few super saints, but the position of every believer. So when Paul calls his readers to live out the new life, it is because of what they already have as believers. It's not how much effort we're able to put in, but because of his grace. Paul says, we are chosen, in verse 12, not choice. That is, we're chosen for something, not chosen because of what we are. He says we are holy, not nice. We're set apart for God, by God, for his service, by grace, not by our human effort. And he says we are dearly loved, not lovely. We are loved because of God, who God is, not because of what we are like. Christianity is not about working ourselves up to observe some impossible moral code. It is about living out the life that Christ freely offers to us and makes possible in us by his Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you have got some valuable gold or silver objects in your home, but they will have an assay mark on them. They don't make the article genuine, but they do show that it is genuine. And the consequences that Paul describes in chapter 3 do not make us Christians, but we should expect to see them in the new life that Jesus has made possible. But there is a sort of warning, a health warning. That word assay, it means to test for genuineness. And there will be areas in our lives that will be put under test to reveal the genuineness of our faith. It's not about how much do we know, but what are our characters like? How do we live it out by God's grace? And Paul says that starts with new clothing, the second half of 12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is not in the sense of a kind of cover-up job, making yourself out to be what you're not. That would be a rules-based approach, the cover-up. But we've all, at some time, worn a school uniform, haven't we? That uniform said something about where we belonged, even what our values were. There was an expectation when they were seen that our life would exhibit itself in a certain way. And this is the inner uniform of a Christian. But it's one that's still seen and tells the world that we belong to Jesus. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. These aren't rules. These are attitudes towards others in relationships. That seems reasonable enough to start with. It describes the things we would like to demonstrate in any relationship. But couldn't I have those without faith in Christ? Well, maybe you could in short bursts. But there's just a nagging thought that without God, it's a totally impossible way of life that's actually beyond us. And if they are doubtful, this one is an absolute certainty in verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And it's definitely getting harder. One of the acid tests for a life truly changed by God is forgiveness. Maybe the others can be achieved for a time by our own efforts, when everything is going well. But when someone offends us, we want to hit out. We don't want to forgive. Forgiveness is not just a natural human reaction. We want to blame someone. Perhaps we think it lets us off the hook. But when God works his change in us, we find that we have the power to forgive as a reflection of the forgiveness that Jesus gives to us with his offer of new life. And it's the same thing with love in verse 14. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's not just a warm feeling, but the willingness to do good to another, no matter what. I told you it gets harder. Only the love that God puts in us is the lasting and crowning garment of the Christian life that Paul describes. And then we come to that one place where the word rule does actually appear, in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. But it's not about rules. It's about Jesus in charge. It's not simply about some inner serenity that makes us impassive in the face of all trials. Nor is it simply having the cessation of visible hostilities. This is the change attitude that finds practical expression in our relationships. This is making whole relationships that were once tattered, first with God and then with each other. It's revolutionary stuff. And it drives the world crazy. The very thing the world wants, peace, it cannot have because it wants it on its own terms without submitting to Christ. And that is impossible. But with Christ in charge, this wholeness of relationships becomes perfectly possible. And even when it comes to something that is clearly meant to dwell within us, it is still about something that has consequences for our relationships, in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. When God makes this happen, he doesn't just use a few in the church. This is not just about preaching. His intention is that we should all contribute to each other's spiritual growth. The word of Christ is the rich resource that the Spirit can use in each of us in making a difference to each other's lives, to make us effective in contributing to that growth. This is not massive knowledge, but the Spirit does need something to work with so that he can make us springs of spiritual refreshment for one another. Verse 17 rather sums it up in that what we need is the Christ-like character. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name of the Lord Jesus refers to his character as a model for ours and his authority for the way we live. We are like ambassadors representing his homeland and government by the way we live and speak. We are living before the world in a way that shows our King to the world. That's still not a super spiritual extra. Paul would be the first to refute that. But it is the consequence of a life transformed by God's grace. People should be looking at us and seeing what Jesus can do in people's lives. Now, there are loads of good reasons why you should not behave like this. If you do, first and foremost, you will be misunderstood. People will get often the wrong impression about you. You'll be despised. People will look at you and think you are weak. To which our reply is, yes, we are. But Jesus isn't. You will be let down because we are not perfect people. And there are times when we let down each other. And you will be taken advantage of. You will show grace and people will treat you with self-interest. Just like they treated Jesus. But that's not a ground for backing out. These are, after all, reflections of God's character seen in his Son, Jesus Christ. So what I've described is hardly a program for a few weeks. It's not just for Lent and then drop it. It's a way of life. Left to ourselves, it would be just a scary demand we couldn't meet. But we are not alone. This is what our loving Heavenly Father wants to do in us. A deep down transformation, not a superficial cleanup. We can have the courage to say yes to this, our Father's plan for our lives, because by his Spirit in us, he makes it possible. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have all we need to serve you. Send your Holy Spirit into our lives that we may show Jesus by the way we speak and react to one another, not just in these difficult times, but for the rest of our lives, for his name's sake. Amen.